Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're continuing our look at the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Well, the book of the Revelation, the word really means unveiling and opening up. And so it's something that God has opened to us in the book of the Revelation. It's not that it's hard to understand. It's just that we haven't studied enough or whatever and put scriptures together. It's an unveiling for God to want us to understand what's going on in the book of the Revelation. The same thing is spoke of here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Behold, I show you a mystery. He's going to reveal something that was previously unknown to the people at that time, where he says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we shall be changed. Of course, we know what this is talking about, the resurrection of believers, that when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be caught up with them together in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that is an event that can come at any moment, at any moment. And I believe that, and he's talking about that here. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. The word anathema means accursed. And then here's this word in Aramaic that was never translated in the Greek language. They kept it, this Aramaic word. It's that word Maranatha. It literally means the Lord is at hand. I love this verse here. The Lord is at hand. And literally what it's saying, it's a byword, that when the believers of the day, they were persecuted. And let me give you the example. They would be in the marketplace, and they're not sure who's who, you know, maybe in the marketplace, and they're dealing with the market people and buying and selling. And as much today, we would much today say, hey, how you doing? God bless you. You know, most time when I hang up with people on the phone or speak with people, I say, God bless you, type, and let them know at least I believe in God, you know, and have that background of Christianity. And most people will normally say, well, thank you, or God bless you, or whatever. Well, this is the same thought here. Back in the days when there was deep persecution of the believers, they would go through the marketplace, and sometimes they would use that word Maranatha. And to the pagans, or to many people, it meant nothing. Maranatha, what is Maranatha? But to the believers, it was a word to literally say, our Lord cometh. It was a word of hope, a word of anticipation. And here it is, the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. At the end of the chapter, Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. In other words, accursed. And then he throws that word Maranatha in there, literally saying, our Lord's coming. I love that. Again, if the Lord had to come sometime during the tribulation period, he would not be saying our Lord's coming. He'd be saying, hey, we have to wait for the Antichrist, then the Lord comes, and that's a whole other subject matter. But I want you to see the picture here of the imminent mentality of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Maranatha, our Lord comes, our Lord cometh. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, in verse number 10, again, a verse dealing with the imminent mentality. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Again, that's we could spend a whole next hour on that verse. But I want you to see the imminent mentality. We are to wait for his Son from heaven, who will deliver us from the wrath to come. Not out of. In other words, we're not going to go part of the wrath, but we're going to deliver from it. We're not going to go through any part of the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 speaks of that right there. And then we see in Titus chapter 2. And again, by the way, on average in the New Testament, on average, for every 28 verses, Bible scholars tells us, for every 28 verses, it speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has something to do with his coming, whether it's the rapture, whether it's the revelation, whether it's millennium. For every 28 verses, and that's a lot, is all through the book of Matthew, the Matthew 24 and 25, all of those verses, we go on and on, all these verses we read all day long, it talks about the Lord coming. Well, in Titus chapter number 2, verse number 13, another wonderful verse. Titus 2, 13. Looking for, and the word looking for literally means to readily anticipate that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And by the way, if anybody ever tells you that Jesus Christ is not God, here's another verse that you could take them to. The Bible is so clear about this. The appearing of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to get in our message this morning from Isaiah 9, 6. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you know one reason Jehovah's Witness does not celebrate Christmas? They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, very God. They don't even want to talk about it. They don't believe he's God incarnate in the flesh. And that's why one reason I can imagine that the leaders of the Jehovah's Witness tell them, don't pass out Christmas cards, because the Christmas cards would say, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You have a hard time differentiating Jesus Christ from the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. He's called the Everlasting Father. Jesus Christ is God, very God in flesh. Amen and amen. And here's a wonderful verse that's speaking about that. Speaking of his coming, looking for that blessed hope. By the way, are you looking for him today? I am. He could come at any moment. We're to look for that, to readily anticipate. Again, that's that imminent mentality. It's so clear in Scripture. We're to look for the coming of Christ. And then we see in James chapter number 5, James chapter number 5, verses 5 through 7. And the first two words are so difficult for us. Be patient. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. We're to be patient. I want him to come now. We're to be patient, therefore, because he's going to come at the right moment, just at the right time. Remember, was that Martha, Lord, at the graveside of Lazarus? If you had been here at the right time, my brother Lazarus, he wouldn't have come. But Jesus Christ always comes right on time, at the exact right moment. Matter of fact, in Galatians, we read in the fullness of time, when fullness of time was come, literally Jesus Christ was born at the exact moment that he was supposed to be born. Well, we're taught to be patient in James chapter number 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience forth until he sees the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Remember the farmers out there, he planted the seed and he knows it's going to come up and he knows he's going to reap a harvest. He just don't know when. He knows it's going to happen. Verse number 8, be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Verse number 9, grudge not one against another. You know what the word grudge means? It's just the opposite of what we talked about Wednesday night. Remember, we talked about Wednesday night. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Well, notice he didn't say grudge in the Lord always, and again I say grudge. Or that the word grudge is just the opposite of rejoicing. It means to complain all the time. And we have people complain all the time, do we not? Even believers. Quit complaining. And he's telling us, grudge not against one another. Whoop, time out. All right. Do you know you're supposed to quit talking about one another? Amen, preacher. Quit talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Grudge not, it's what it says, grudge not one against another. Preacher, do you know about sister so-and-so? No, really, unless it's affecting the church, I really don't need to know. Unless you understand. There's a lot of things that's left unsaid, and if it gets where it's a problem in the church, that's a whole other issue. But the point is, quit talking about one another. Amen? If somebody starts talking to you about somebody, just wait a minute. Why don't you get somebody else and we'll hear it in the mouth of two or three witnesses, and all of a sudden it's going to stop right quick-like, okay? Because you know what they're doing? They're gossiping.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.